But tonight, I want to talk to you about the power of the first step. You know, this is a time of year when people think about what needs to be changed. And it's not sinful to think about it at other times, by the way. But since everybody is already thinking about it, I'm going to jump on that and ride it a little bit, okay? But obviously, our whole life is about change. You know, the Christian journey is a journey of change. We should be growing and going from glory to glory, right? Faith to faith, strength to strength, increasingly becoming more like Jesus. And, you know, we want to maintain passion and exude a resemblance to Jesus. And what greater compliment could be paid the life of a believer than to be told, you know, I just see Jesus in you. I feel the presence of Christ when I'm around you. And we all endeavor, hopefully, to live that way, and more so as we journey on. And we live in a fast-paced world, but we never should run by the building blocks that we should build our lives on. So tonight I'm going to be talking about the power of the first step, because it's just so true. All through the Scripture you see this. Like, one small step can bring big change. And usually when we're on a subject like this, you immediately, many of us, think of that Neil Armstrong, you know, when he, his declaration, you know, one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind. Well, similarly, in the Christian life, it's often those first steps that realign or reposition our lives and set us up for what God desires for us. Now, most of you that have children, I know a lot of mamas, I know Mickey, she's guilty of this. We got a little book there somewhere at home where, you know, baby's first step today. You know, daddy said mama today, you know. And all that's dated, you know, the day that happened, because that's viewed to be significant, you know. I think my mom put down, you know, the day I was born, baby cried for the first time. You know, that's a powerful moment. Small adjustments can bring big changes. Moses, minding his own business, the back 40, been out of Egypt for 40 years, tending sheep, and over there he sees a bush burning, and it says, and he turned aside. That act of turning aside from what he was doing and approaching where God was moving resulted in his life being changed. He was jettisoned into a position of leadership to lead God's people out of Egypt. And so he did. But it began, of course it began when he was born, but there are those times in our life where we have these opportunities. If we step into them, great things can happen. And there's some things maybe you're struggling with tonight. You're like, I know I need to change this. I used to be better at this than I am now. Or I used to not struggle with this, but I'm having trouble getting untethered from this attitude or this habit. And I'm telling you that tonight, a small step in the God direction can bring big change. Because, you know, when we take a step toward God, we are committing to receive help from someone that really can help. And so it's just an axiom in Scripture, or truth in Scripture, if you will, that, you know, you take that first step, and then have you noticed the ones that follow? For the most part, they seem to be easier. I remember when Andrew was just a little thing. And we're swimming for the first time. And, you know, and most of us have these experiences with our kids. You know, dad's in the water and you get them on the edge. Just jump. Just trust me. Jump. Daddy will catch you. Daddy will catch you. And you're there. They're there like, you know. And then finally, they jump and you catch them, right? Well, we've been through that. And he was good at that. He'd jump. And we had gone down to New Orleans, Louisiana, to check out a seminary down there. And on the way back, we stayed at a little one of the hotels off the interstate. It had a swimming pool. And so we got on our swimming suits and I went out and I was in the pool. I was swimming the deep end, out in the deep water and just enjoying it. And Mickey came out of the hotel room with Andrew, and he was, Mickey, how old was he at the time? Was he two, three years old?
23, 18 months.
Yeah, between 2, 18 months to 2 and a half, something like that. And he runs past her, and he starts coming to the swimming pool, wide open. Well, I'm in the deep end. I'm treading water, you know. And here he comes, and I see him coming. And I'm thinking, I know what he's about to do. He didn't even slow down when he got to the edge. He bailed in because there was Daddy. And, of course, Daddy caught him. And now I've got, you know, I can't touch bottom. And I'm holding him up like this. So, and I'm treading all I can, like, you know, trying to keep him above water. Get up, and, you know. Finally, I made it to the edge and got him on the edge. But, I mean, he learned that well after he had done that the first time. The next time, he was ready to go. And that's the way it is in life. But those first steps, there's a lot of resistance around us and within us. And so let's just drop by some scripture tonight and talk about this for a moment. And I'm going to share three things with you. This is a very simple teaching, but hopefully it'll be very helpful for you. And I want to share with you three truths about first steps. And hopefully it'll encourage you to take the first step, that first step toward the change you know that needs to happen in your life. I've already had a couple of people, since I've been here tonight, tell me, you know, well, the Lord's telling me that I'm doing better on this year, and I'm starting this. And that's good. That's good. Because you start thinking the right things, you may just very well end up doing the right things. Okay? So, first scripture that I want us to drop by is one of my favorite, Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be strength help to your flesh and strength to your navel is literally to your bones. But this is a powerful scripture. And so the first thing I want to talk about, the first step is usually the hardest step. Just like the story I just told. The first step is usually the hardest step. Now notice in this scripture the contrast that's so obvious. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You see this contrast of doing what God wants you to do and doing what you want to do based on your ability to understand, your ability to think it through. Revelation time, God is smarter than we are. God is wiser than we are. And this scripture says, you know, that even knowing that, we still will want to lean toward our own understanding. And it doesn't wait till we're 40 that we do that. We do it when right after we're born. I remember all of our children, one time or the other, I do that myself. You know? And that can be a good thing at times. And it can be not so good at times, right? But there you see that contrast here. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will direct your paths. In other words, we have to live with an open heart where we're inviting the Lord to speak into our life. How does He direct our paths? Well, that's a whole other message. But He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through His Spirit. Sometimes He may speak to you through another person. He can speak to us through our circumstances. There are times in scriptures when angels came with messages from God. There's so many different ways that God can get His message to us. But we've got to realize that we have a responsibility to open the door of our heart to receive that. You know, if you super glue the lid on your mailbox, the mailman's not going to leave any mail. And we can do that in our lives. So this is telling us that, how does this fit in with the first step? She's the hardest step. Because we have to overcome the resistance that's within us. Our own propensity to figure it out on our own independence, our own self-reliance. And that's the reason the attitude of humility, there's such a premium on that in God's Word. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. As opposed to being proud, which God resists. And here it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, if you think of that through the lens which we're viewing it tonight, to not acknowledge the Lord, to refuse to trust the Lord, and to go our own way, and to be wise in our own eyes, and not fear the Lord, then that means that we are actually forming an alliance with that which is evil, that which is against God. So it's a very serious matter, and the first step is usually the hardest step because it requires faith. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That trust thing, isn't that what the deal is here? Isn't that what's going on? Can I trust my daddy to catch me? You know, I'm afraid. I can't swim. Will he catch me? Same thing. But once you know daddy's going to catch you, he's going to be there for you, the next time you just fly on off. It's easier. So it's a matter of faith taking this first step. It's crucial. And it sets the stage for every step that follows after that. It positions you where you need to be. It requires courage. It requires determination, tenacity. But God even gives that to us. I like what Martin Luther King Jr. once said. He said, take the first step in faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step. Isn't that good? A lot of times our struggle is, well, you know, if I do this, then what's going to happen after that? Then what's going to happen after? And there's nothing wrong with thinking ahead. But when it comes to the time, and you know it's the Lord saying, this is the right thing, you need to do this, you may not see beyond that first step. But if He's telling you to take it, go ahead and take it. He won't let you down. He will be there for you. I mean, even the secular world or the non-Christian religious world, they understand some of this, like the great Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu. I'm not telling you to leave this camp and go to that camp by any stretch of the imagination. But he did say something that made some sense, and that is the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. One step. I'm too old to go back to school. One step. I don't have the talent and ability to be able to do that. One step. Who am I to think about changing my career? One step. Well, there's a lot of people that can preach better than I'd ever be able to preach. One step. Who am I to start a business? I mean, look at all these people that have all this money and my pockets are pretty much empty. Who am I? Is the Lord leading you in that way? Trust Him. The first step is usually the hardest step. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be any difficult steps ahead. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if you'll get that first one behind you, and being in the ministry, and I'm sure Pastor Dot would agree with this, Pastor Larry and other Randy and other pastors here, Gary, and I'll quit naming them because it'd take a while, thank the Lord. We got a lot of wonderful ministers in the house. But people in giving their lives to the Lord, there is such a, we've all seen the white knuckles. Holding on. Holding on. But once there's that first step of faith, and you don't have to walk up to the front to be saved. Jesus can save you where you are. You don't even have to be in the church building. But the first step of faith to let go and believe that Jesus is who he says he is. Then after that, the passion comes and things begin to change. Are there difficulties? Sure there will be. But that first step positions your life for victory, for triumph. Puts you on the road to overcoming. And that's so important for us to understand. And that first step is hard because it's not only involves faith, but you have to overcome fear. The uncertainty. I remember when the Lord was dealing with us to step out and just, you know, well, I won't have a job, and that means I won't have a salary, and we won't have a house, and we won't have insurance, and we won't have retirement, and we all those reasons to not do something. But when you know God said, this is what I want you to do, trust me. Well, I trust you, but I'm afraid. There's that overcoming the fear. Overcoming the fear. You know, the Lord's got what's in front of you and he's got your back. It's like people in the military when they're sent out to address the enemy's attack. You know, they had to have some confidence that the government sending them out is going to back them up. And there's still a lot of fear to overcome. And faith and fear are usually on the same, and I don't mean this in an irreverent way, but on the same playing field together in our lives in times of major decision. Am I going to fear this more than I'm going to trust God? Or is my faith in God going to be greater than my fears? And again, that's the reason our getting rooted in our identity and knowing who we are and who he is, that we are loved, we are accepted, we are worthy, that he's our Father, we're adopted, we're in, that he's faithful, he won't leave us, he won't forsake us, he's a promise keeper. Knowing all that makes it, it positions our heart to be willing to trust him and overcome the fear, to step into the unknown. Because what's unknown to us, we know is known by him. And that's the life of faith. Faith will open the doors for your dreams to come true. If you've seen little children taking their first steps, you know, they crawl around, and they'll crawl around different ways. One of our grandkids was a scooter, not a crawler. You know, and one of them crawled funny on one leg. And it's just, but it's funny to watch. But there comes a day when, you know, they start pulling up and standing and holding on. And, you know, but in order to walk, in order to take that first step, they've got to let go of what they previously have held on to. And they've got to trust. Overcome that fear. And they may take a step and fall, but having taken that step, it's like their potential, they're made aware of their potential and their capability and their possibility. Like, I did that. And then here they go again. And the next thing you know, just around the corner, they're running wide open, knocking everything down. You can't keep up with them. But that's good, isn't it? Let me talk about the first step a little bit more. Not only is it the hardest step, but the first step is usually the greatest step. Notice that those last two verses in this scripture that we're reading, do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. In other words, doing things God's way will bless you. And it goes on from there. about honor the Lord with the first fruits of all your increase, and so your barn will be filled with plenty. And it just lists the benefits of trusting the Lord with all your heart, not trying to go the way of your own understanding, but living the life of faith, fearing the Lord and acknowledging Him in everything you do, and becoming God conscious in the way you live your lives, then the blessings begin to come. It's the greatest step you could ever take, the step toward trusting God, believing God, properly, reverentially fearing God. It's the greatest step you could ever take. And that's when change starts happening, when you start partnering with God and allowing Him through His Holy Spirit and His Word to cause your heart to come alive, to start giving you revelation through visions and dreams, through understanding of the Scripture, through prophetic words that may be given you, and God starts speaking to you. You start seeing God where you didn't, before you didn't see God. You start hearing God in ways that you've never heard God. All of a sudden, I remember when I went through this, having pastored almost 15 years and just kind of immersed into the Holy Spirit in ways that I didn't even think possible. And it's like, wow, life is so much more spiritual than I ever realized it was. And I'm the preacher. You know? I mean, you think, you should know. But you know what? Now I've been at it 39 years. And compared to who He is and what there is, I don't know anything. He's awesome. What He invites us into is unfathomable, inestimable, past our human understanding. What do you mean He invites us into? Call unto Me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you... I'll show you some stuff you don't know if you'll call on Me. If you'll trust Me and acknowledge Me, I'll direct your path. In other words, I'll show you the way. I'll open the doors. I'll open the gates. Tomorrow we're going to see how an angel... Do you know that an angel opened gates for Peter and the gang twice in the book of Acts? That's amazing. But the Lord said, I'll clear the path for you. I'll make your... It can be translated, I'll make your path straight. I'll direct your steps. I'll make your path smooth. Anybody ready for some smooth walking? But this is who He is. This is what He does. This is what we're invited into. And it begins with the first step. The first step. Hardest, but also the greatest step. It sets the direction that you're going to take. It awakens the possibilities that await you. It activates the responses of other people regarding you. You start doing right, it's amazing how it begins to impact other people. Some of them get mad at you, don't want to be your friend anymore. Some of them become convicted and say, hey, can I go there with you? And there's some steps we cannot, I mean, we have to take ourselves. As much as you want to help that little one and take that first step for them, they have to take it. Has to be their first step. But then it puts them in the place where they'll begin to grow and advance. The just shall live by His faith. Last thing. Your first step may birth even greater first steps in others. Many of you in the room have been forerunners. And there may be more forerunning to be done by you. Others, you may be a forerunner that God is raising up right now. What I mean by that, it means you're going to take some steps first. And because of the steps you take, others are going to begin to take steps. Your first step may birth even greater first steps in others. And I wanted to share with you Hebrews 6:19 and following. And I'm going to lift it out of the context just to apply it to this message. But the writer of Hebrews says, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence beyond the veil." The book of Hebrews is about the new covenant being better than the old covenant. And now we have a great high priest after the order of Melchizedek, the Lord Jesus. He says in verse 20, "Where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." Now, I'm not going to get into the nuts and bolts of all that passage, but what I want you to see is Jesus was our forerunner. He went to the cross as the last Adam, the second man, and died there. And then he was buried, he was raised from the dead, but then he was ascended, and he was seated at the right hand of the Father. He's there as our great high priest. He has gone to heaven and paved the way for us, just like John the Baptist came announcing Jesus coming, prepared people's heart to receive Jesus. Jesus has now gone into the presence of the Father, and there he makes intercessions for us, and we know that's where we're going. He has forerun for us through his redemptive, atoning work. Now, certainly, not in an identical way, but by principle, we forerun for other people. Parents should forerun for their children. We should live our lives, equip our children, prepare our people, children, so that it's easier for them to enter into all God has for them than it was for us. Raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. These are principles that parents should be forerunners. The nature of a forerunner, as you've heard me say numbers of times, the state of Alabama is from a Native American term that means forerunner, thicket clearer, literally. The ones who cleared the thickets first, the people that come behind them, it's easier traveling. Why? Because you don't have to machete all those briars and plants and move all those stumps and uproot those rocks and so forth. Because somebody else has done the hard work and you just get to walk where they've worked and enjoy it. But there's new areas to be taken, new fields to plow, new timber to fail, right? In the kingdom. So in that sense, we should be forerunners, paving the way. Our first steps may birth even greater first steps in others. Even Jesus, our forerunner, says it's necessary for me to go on now to the Father so the Holy Spirit can come. And the works that I do shall you do also, and even greater works than these. In John 14. Well, there you go. That our first steps as forerunners can birth the first steps in other people that go farther than we do. I mean, that's every parent's heart. My ceiling, my children's floor. Isn't that what we want as a congregation? The ceiling we reach, that those coming behind us, that's their floor. They go on from there until Jesus comes back. From everlasting to everlasting, He's God. Until all the kings and kingdoms are vanquished and He rules and reigns as Lord. Your obedient steps of faith can pave the way for others. Sometimes the quick success or great fast turnarounds we see are because of someone else's hard labor in the secret place of prayer. Warring in prayer so that we can have victory in battle. All of that is part of what I'm talking about tonight. The first step.
The first step.
I believe one way to illustrate this first step may birth even greater first steps in others. For years and years and years in the Olympic Games and in the competitive track and field venues, no one could break the 4-minute mile. No one. But on May the 6th, 1954, a Brit, United Kingdom, named Roger Bannister, broke for the first time in recorded history the 4-minute mile. He came in at, I think it was 3:59 and 4/100. Just under 4 minutes. It took decades and decades for somebody to do that. But it wasn't but about 46 days after that, I think it was, that somebody broke his record. And now here we are, and I looked this up today. As of this time, there have been at least 1,663 athletes that have broken the 4-minute mile after all those decades. The current world record, by the way, is 3:43.13. 3:43 and a tad. Because he did it, it awakened the realization in other people, I can do it too. Not only can I do it, I think I can beat that. And we've certainly seen that in the area of technology. You know, Daniel talked about the last days, knowledge would increase. You know, and it's like the 1940s, 50s, they said it would take a whole city block to operate what we would call a computer today. It wouldn't be anything like it, but that type of mechanism to do some calculations, a whole city block. And then it changed, you know, by the late 1990s, where you could put the whole Library of Congress on something the size of a sugar cube. And now you can probably put a number of Libraries of Congress on a flash drive or something smaller in your pocket. I know a little mini disc. You can. I mean, my phone's got a little mini disc in it. It's got 128 gigabytes. And that's more books than you read between now and the weekend. It's just amazing how this exponential increase. But in the realm of the Spirit, these steps of faith. You know, if you have the desire to change, you know it's a God change. It's something that God would be pleased with, that God would have you to do. If you know that, if you will have the courage and the faith to take that first step and commit yourself, what happens, that first step of faith, when you take it, great, you are graced at that very moment with the grace of God to take the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. Don't you let anyone tell you that you can't do what God says you can do. And don't expect someone else to take the step of faith that you know you only can take. It's so important for us to understand that. So, in closing, I'm going to ask our Andrew worship team have some music up here in a moment. Let me encourage you here. Pray and ask God for strength and guidance to make that change. that you know needs to be made. Read the Bible. Meditate on passages that will encourage you to do that thing, whatever it may be, to step into that. Surround yourself with people who will support you in what God is calling you to do. Cheerleaders. We don't just need them in high school football or college football or baseball or so forth. It's good to have people that support you and believe in you when you're taking God's steps. And take those small steps courageously. And help God to help you persevere when the going gets tough. Then trust in God's timing. Trust in God's help along the way. And I believe you'll be able to look back next January 2024 and you'll be amazed at how God has helped you to take ground, establish things in your life. You'll see some things that aren't there in 2024 that you see there now. You'll see new levels of glory, new levels of faith, new levels of strength. And I want us to believe that for our fellowship here at Grace House as well, and the things that God's calling us to do. That we'll have the courage to take step by step these steps of faith, addressing the things the Spirit speaks to us, and seeing God strengthen and grow us in all the ways of fruitfulness that we are called to. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. I want you to think about your personal walk with the Lord first, just for a few moments. What's the one thing what you believe would be one thing the Lord would be saying to you that needs to change so that your life can be more spiritual, more in tune with Jesus and the Holy Spirit's leadership? What would be one thing you know the Lord would be pleased with if you would begin doing that? And I'm talking about those things that you already know this would be the God thing I need to start doing. Would you commit tonight to take that step? In your heart before the Lord, Lord, I'm committing tonight. I'm taking that step of faith. I'm saying yes. It could be 10,000 different things, but I'll leave that between you and the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't know what that might be. Well, in what area are you struggling? What needs to happen for that struggle to be overcome? Okay, second thing I want you to pray about. That was the personal. I want you to think a little bit more corporately. What's one step you could take that would better connect you to what God's doing here at our fellowship at Grace House? One thing that you know would be the right thing for you to do that you're not doing. Praying, giving, going, serving, other things. Would you do that? Would you be willing to commit to that? And thirdly, in your family, what's the step the Lord would have you to take so that things could improve in your family relationships? I said, well, that thing's great at our family. Well, that's wonderful, but I don't think there's any of us here that we couldn't improve in some way. All of us. Think about that a moment. You see, I believe if we humble ourselves and we ask God to help us, that we'll be met with His grace tonight. And these will be first steps that can bring big changes in our life. We step through this one door that the Lord's leading you to take tonight, that one door. Other doors will begin to open. And it takes time, but just faithfully sticking with it, following through. I'm not talking about trying to work up some emotion and make some superficial decision. I'm talking about, you know, this would please the Lord. This would be the right thing in your relationship with God to do in these areas. He will grace you. He will help you. We have His word to that end. So, Father, right now, as decisions are being made across this room and maybe across the internet online, Lord, as these decisions are being made tonight, I ask that Your grace, Your Holy Spirit power would come now alongside commitment and faith. Lock arms with commitment and faith. Help these, my brothers and sisters and friends, to take these first steps. And I encourage you right now just to seal that with prayer. Lord, I'm saying yes tonight to these areas. Help me, I ask, in Jesus' name. And by Your grace, I'm going to make these changes. Now, would you stand with me? I'm going to ask our prayer team members just to come up here and be available for this. Maybe a time there's some people say, you know, I need somebody to seal this in prayer with me. You might even need some encouragement or counsel, and we will have people here in the Alder area. They'll be here. Just come on up. They'll be glad to pray with you, join their faith with yours. We could have a few on this side as well. Thank you. Just step out from where you are if you would like to come. The Holy Spirit's leading you to come. Take that first step right now. Sometimes it's good to just come and share. I'm taking this step tonight. There's an accountability in that. There's an humbling in that. I encourage you to come. Are there others? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Him all things are possible. Faithful is He who calls you, who also will do it. It's God who's working in you right now, both to will and do according to that which pleases Him. Trust Him. He's going to work all things together for good. Trust Him. He exalts. He promotes in due time. Trust Him. He gives grace and mercy to help in our time of need. Trust Him. Take Him at His word. He's a good Father. He won't lie to you. He's not a man that He should lie. Anyone else, just step out from where you are. Mickey and I were leaving the house tonight, and this is part of my routine on Wednesday. I take our trash out to the end of our driveway because it's picked up early on Thursday. And for some reason, that's just come into my mind right now, and that sometimes that's in our lives, in our emotions, in our struggles, in our conflict, in our relationships, sometimes it's just like we need to bag the stuff up and just dump it. Just get rid of it. You know, if you don't, things begin to stink around home. The atmosphere gets kind of polluted. It's not very pleasurable. And this is just true about our human nature, is we have to die to ourselves. Because it's the easiest thing in the world when we're in an unchristian mode to be selfish and carnal, independent and prideful. And those things are walls that the devil uses to build, to keep us away from the grace that we could have, the peace that we could enjoy, and the joy that we could live in. So, empty the trash. Die to some stuff. Don't try to figure it out. Trust God. He'll show you the way. Take the step toward Him tonight. You'll never regret it. Now, Father, I thank You tonight for Your Word. Thank You for the simplicity of Your Word. Thank You for the challenge of Your Word, the power of Your Word. And I pray, Lord, for my brothers and sisters in this room tonight. And we declare victory on every battlefield that's represented here tonight. We declare, Jesus, Your power to overcome in Your name and by Your blood. We declare Your victory over every circumstance, over every situation where there may be depression and discouragement. We declare that the garment of praise is being put on the shoulders of the saints tonight, and the spirit of heaviness is being broken and dismantled in the mighty name of Jesus. And we say, away with you. Away with you. Take your leave now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters and the families in this room tonight. Father, I pray that You would surround them about with Your holy angels. God, that the presence of Your Holy Spirit would become thick and powerful and weighty in every home represented, every marriage represented, every relationship represented here tonight. May Jesus rule and reign. Lord, where there's needs in the room tonight, we declare that You're the God of all sufficient grace, that You supply all of our needs according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So I thank You, Lord, that the gates of provision are open because Jesus has been seated and because He rules and reigns. And Lord, thank You for the riches of glory we enjoy because of Jesus. Let those come into life here in this room tonight. Lord, those who may be battling sickness, illness, disease of some sort tonight, I decree and declare by Your stripes, King Jesus, we are made well and whole. That You have given us the gospel, the good news, the so-so message of salvation, healing, and deliverance. Lord, every binding point, every shackle, every chain that would hold us back, that would hem us in away from our destiny that You've ordained, we pray in Jesus' name, those chains be broken, those demons be expelled. We declare liberty. This is the year of liberty, the acceptable year of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you for being here tonight. God bless you. Have a good rest of the week. Hope to see you on Sunday morning. Bring a neighbor or friend.